The Pacific Tourism Organization, South Pacific Tourism Organization, recently launched the Pacific Tourism COVID-19 Impact and Recovery Report. The report was contracted by New Zealand's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, New Zealand MFAT, who have worked together with SPTO to undertake the assessment. The report is phase 1B of three phases and focuses on several Pacific Island countries. The report outlines initial impacts and emerging responses across the Pacific and will no doubt aid decision-making by Pacific tourism sector organisations and businesses. For more now, we're joined by Chris Cocker, Chief Executive Officer of the South Pacific Tourism Organisation, joining us from Fiji. Vinaka Vaklevu, Nisa Yandra Vinaka, thank you so much for your time this morning, Chris.
Yes, warm Pacific greetings, Brian, also to your listeners. Thank you for the opportunity.
Chris, firstly, main findings, please, of the Pacific Tourism COVID-19 Impact and Recovery Report.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to thank the New Zealand government as well as the people of New Zealand for funding this study. Impact study has definitely confirmed to us that the tourism sector is the hardest hit sector in the Pacific region compared to other sectors. And I think also it really highlights to us, if you look at the report, the overall direct impact in New Zealand dollars from the New Zealand's perspective is about 3.1 billion. So that's a lot of money in this case. It also highlights that the countries that are very vulnerable to this impact are the ones who are sort of very dependent on tourism with their GDP. And that, of course, is countries such as Cook Islands, French Polynesia, Niue, Vanuatu, and also Fiji in this case. I think those who are suffering most in the Pacific, which is highlighted by the report, the ones, the small, micro, medium enterprises in this case. Eh? And it also highlights that the New Zealand visitors spend about 1 billion in the Pacific Island countries. As you're probably aware, Brian, that New Zealand and Australia take about 50% of our total tourism arrivals. And I'm quoting about, that's 50% about of 2.1 million in 2018, in this case of Air Vista arrivals. It also highlights that although there's doom and gloom, there is still a stronger propensity from New Zealanders to travel to the Pacific Islands compared to 2019. So, and I think in one of the things that came up, beaches are very strong, that they really want to get away from everything and visit somewhere where they could relax in this case. One of the good things that have been highlighted, Pacific Island countries have managed very well COVID-19 in terms of managing it and containing it in this case. And I think the key question that's left with us is, how capable are we to manage COVID-19 if it comes into our countries in the future? And also, are we ready to lift our borders in this case for our respective countries? One of the key things that have come up is air access is the key. And the need for a package or something like that to support our airlines, our local and regional airlines, because if there's no air access, there's no tourism into the Pacific region. And I think in a nutshell, in terms of the of everything that the two key areas that were impacted is on the financial side, particularly to our tourism businesses, and particularly because they're struggling in terms of financing themselves moving forward. And the other one is the human resources. More than 90% of our employees in the tourism industry in the Pacific are either unemployed or unpaid leave. Thank you.
So, Chris, how does the tourism industry in the Pacific region then move forward from the devastating impacts of COVID-19 in the region?
Well, you know, we are a resilient industry, Brian. Although we've had crises before, like natural disasters, etc. So this is a bit different, very different. We're in unprecedented times, etc. So We have to be very quick and one step ahead, etc. So a lot of our countries have already provided stimulus packages to assist their tourism industries, but also they're into the recovery mode now. So we're now planning ahead for recovery in this case. But with from the report side and also our SPTO recovery strategy that we've already launched, there are immediate needs that need to be addressed in this case during this quiet time when the crisis is still on. I think the key issue is to continue to protect and maintain most of our Pacific Island countries who are COVID-19 free. So the issue of training our tourism industry to keep that safety and healthy when the borders do open up, etc., that we are still safe and healthy from COVID-19. The strengthening of our brand in the key markets. Hello, we're still here. We're waiting for you. Welcome. When everything is normal, come to our part of the world in this case. The support of the local airlines. Market intelligence is very important as well to keep up to date what's happening in the source markets, particularly Australia and New Zealand. And training, upskilling, and keeping our staff to still be very capable and skilled when the borders open. And I think wage support is very important for our employees, because we're not as privileged like New Zealand, Australia, that there are benefits, unemployment benefits, etc., that could help our people who are out in this case. And I think financial micro grants and low cost finance, particularly to help our tourism business to operate, particularly when there are no visitors in this case. I think in moving forward, we need to capitalize on our opportunities that COVID-19 has opened up, because these are the positive sides of COVID-19. Promoting the most of our Pacific Islands countries as COVID-19 free, because globally, majority of the islands in the Pacific are COVID-19 free compared to the rest of the world in this case. Sustainable tourism will be a key factor that we'd like to promote for the Pacific in this case, because as we all now know that an environment has become very important now with the standstill in this case. Promoting our unique selling points of each Pacific Island country, that should come out strongly. We've got 20 members, Brian, and they have different unique selling points, ranging from Rapa Nui right through to Timor-Leste, Micronesia, and down to the Kingdom Tonga in the south. And I think niche tourism will grow, particularly looking at niche tourism in this case, because there is a need to diversify our tourism products. We cannot just focus on sun, sand, and sea only in this case. And I think the travel bubbles is important. You can do travel bubbles with Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific, or you can do a Pacific travel bubble because we're still COVID-19 free and major source markets. And also building our industry to be resilient. We never know, there might be another pandemic in the future.
Can I ask quickly, in the immediate future, and with regards when you talk about wage support, what have you heard from your members, Chris, about, you know, support from their, you know, respective governments to help them, you know, see through their, you know, unemployment or, you know, what is it, waiting for the industry to pick up again? Are they getting any form of financial support from local governments?
You know, we did also a study and impact survey, which fed into this New Zealand MFET study. And there were about 200 that we of the private sector in the region. We had a very good response of about 70% of the people responding. So that hasn't come out strongly in terms of the support. And I think it's quite challenging because, you know, governments have priorities on funding certain things, etc. What has come out in some of the countries is for them to tap into their national provident fund in this case. Of course, we all know that's a retirement fund in this case, and they can access that. But there are countries who have paid handouts to their countries in this, to their tourism employees to keep them going for the next 3 months or so. So it's a bit of mixed, but that has come out strongly that we still need wage support for our employees, because it's very good that our Pacific tourism industry have put their employees as number one. And of course, that's why tourists come to our region. It's the people, and we are people industry.
Of course. Chris, with tourism being the biggest contributor to so many of our Pacific economies, what strategies then did the report discuss to safeguard the industry from impacts of, say, a future pandemic?
Yes, so as you probably know, the report that's been done is on a certain stages. So they're currently developing the recovery scenarios in this case. But from our SPTO recovery strategy that we've also launched as a tool which could guide our member countries in developing their recovery action plans, we've sort of strongly brought out the importance in moving forward, investing in crisis management, so as to prepare ourselves, because we never know, there might be a future pandemic, who knows, in this case, or any a crisis in the future. Importance of diversifying our markets is very important. We cannot depend mainly on Australia and New Zealand all the time. So we need to diversify our markets. Not only that, we need to diversify our tourism products, as I had mentioned earlier. There should be a range of products that we offer. And of course, we all know, Brian, we cannot put our eggs all into one basket in this case. Investing in innovative partnerships, and a good example is digitalization and also market intelligence in this case, and also looking for different key partners. And I think prioritizing sustainable tourism as a key area. People are going to go green. People are going to go for green tourism and just come into off-the-beaten-track destinations, etc.
When we talk about recovery, what role do the governments of New Zealand and Australia play, Chris?
Very important. As you probably know that, Brian, these are our major source markets, as I mentioned earlier. They're our closest neighbours. And of course, and when in times of crisis, who are the first ones on our doorsteps? It's Australia and New Zealand. And I'm very happy to see that New Zealand has increased their Pacific Reset funding for the Pacific. And I think it's about $55.6 million to help the Pacific in this case. So it definitely says that New Zealand is with the Pacific all the way, as well as Australia in this case. And I think the importance for these two countries is that they see the Pacific as also very important in linking their economies to us as well. We are far remote from the rest of the world. We are just on New Zealand, Australia, and the Pacific. So we need to bond together, because I think moving forward, the key for this is collaboration. And with the Pacific, this is when regional tourism comes to a very important, playing a very pertinent role in this case, and working with our very closest neighbours, etc.
And finally, Chris, the Pacific Wave Recovery Fund, what's that about?
So immediately when this happened, we of course worked with New Zealand AMFED on a Pacific tourism impact study. We also developed our Pacific recovery strategy, but we also needed to have something like a fund that will help our tourism SPTO private sector members. And it was actually born because when COVID hit, I was down in the West in Nandi, and I was visiting our private sector members there. So these provided ideas, etc., for us in the recovery. So it's actually to try to reunite and re-inspire and re-engage our SPTO private sector members, and bring them together in this time, and to open up assistance and open this fund for other donors and development partners, corporate business people, if they want to help our Pacific tourism industry, particularly our private sector members. And one of the first donors for this was the New Zealand Maori Tourism, who have been a valued partner of SPTO in the past 2 years, particularly with our South Pacific Tourism Exchange. And they donated $50,000 as an initial injection into the fund in this case. And I'm thankful for that. And the fund's still open. And whoever is interested may contact me at the SPTO.
And final message to all our listeners and our online viewers, especially once the bubble opens up for the Pacific region, even for those of our largest Polynesian population here in New Zealand, you know, maybe time to head back home and to visit the family, Chris.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Brian. I think to all our family and friends in New Zealand, please do not forget us. We will be here waiting to welcome you to our shores once our respective situations permit. And I think one of the key things that will come up that will be strong is family tourism. And it's particularly, we call visit family and friends. Because of the lockdown, a lot of people have, reunions have been postponed or cancelled, weddings, etc. So when the borders are lifted, come home.
Come home indeed. CEO for South Pacific Tourism Organization, Chris Cocker. Vinaka Vakalevu Ratu, we really appreciate your time this morning. To you and the team, keep up the great work and stay safe.